Okay, good morning, everybody. Let me also extend a very warm welcome to you all. It's great to see you here today. Like Mark said, my name is Christina Angelopoulos. I am an associate professor here at the Faculty of Law. I specialize in intellectual property law, and I am also currently the director of the faculty's undergraduate law program. And that is what I'd like to talk to you about. I'd like to provide you with a brief overview of precisely that program. Now, to be specific, my objective will be to talk to you in more general terms about studying law and about studying law in Cambridge in particular. Now, I assume that you are all here today because you are trying to decide precisely if that is something that you are interested in doing. Is this a subject into the nitty-gritty detail of which you are interested in delving over the next 3 years in a very academic way? Can you see yourselves pursuing a career in this area after you've finished your studies? And would you enjoy your student years at this institution compared to any other great law school in this country or in any other country which you may be considering? Now, these are, of course, really big decisions in any person's life, and I obviously can't answer them for you. But what I can try to do, and what my colleagues will also be trying to do throughout the day, is to give you the information that you need in order to make a decision as you approach putting in your university applications later this year. So, what is it like to study law at Cambridge? First, a note on terminology. The undergraduate law program here is a BA program. It's a Bachelor of Arts program in law. Sometimes it's also referred to as an LLB, a Bachelor of Laws. In Cambridge's somewhat arcane and idiosyncratic vernacular, it is called the Law Tripos Programme. And this is what you'll often see it referred to as on the website and on any other relevant promotional material. Don't be put off by this. Apparently, the word tripos is derived from the three-legged stool that Cambridge students used to sit on in the past to take their final exams. But let me reassure you that the seating is much more comfortable these days. And more than that, I like to think that our approach to the study of the law is a forward-thinking and modern one. And I'll come back to say a little bit further on this point later on in the presentation. Now, we are, in fact, as you are probably aware, a world-leading law school. We're consistently ranked in the top 5 law schools internationally, and as one of the top 2 law schools here in the UK. And certainly, we have a very strong ethos in terms of how we go about teaching the law. One thing worth emphasizing is that we see legal excellence in teaching the law as going hand in hand with excellence in researching the law. So that teaching and research are seen as intertwined, and our approach to a legal education is very much a research-led approach. What this means is that our objective is to offer teaching by people who are not simply research active, but in fact are producing cutting-edge research, who are leading national and international policy debates in their areas of expertise, and who are really pushing the boundaries of this discipline. In our faculty, this is seen as essential. For us, the study of law is not simply about reading a textbook, a statute, a court judgment, but about exposure to the insights of people who are at the forefront of their area of study. The objective is to foster an understanding not only of what the law currently says, but also of how it comes to be and of competing opinions on what it ought to be. But let's focus on the details. What exactly do we teach? When I first started studying law at a very different institution in a very different country, My younger sister took a look at my lecture timetable and observed that it looked very repetitive. All of my lectures were on law. She went on to pursue a science degree. But she was not incorrect. There does, in fact, tend to be an emphasis on teaching law at law school. But law comes in all sorts of different flavours. Here in Cambridge, our law papers are split into what we call foundation subjects and optional papers. Foundation subjects are taken by all our students. This is partly because rules on professional qualification require that applicants can show that they have studied these subjects. Now, these rules have actually changed recently in England and Wales for solicitors, but they remain the same for barristers. So most of our students do continue to take all of these foundation subjects. It's also worth emphasizing that these subjects are also foundational in the sense that they comprise core areas with which every good lawyer should be familiar, regardless of their specific professional aspirations. The foundation subjects are the following. So we have criminal law, tort law, and constitutional law, which students study in their first year. Contract law and land law, which students take in their second year, and equity and EU law, which are taken in the third year. Now, alongside these foundation subjects, we also offer a huge range of optional papers, which are available to our second and third year students. Optional papers include so-called full papers, in things like international law, human rights law, labour law, and my own area of expertise, intellectual property law. We also allow our third year students to take what are known as half papers, as opposed to the full papers, right? And these are shorter courses which are focused on more highly specialised topics. Our half papers cover areas like animal rights, comparative law, environmental and sustainable development law, banking law, landlord and tenant law. We also offer our third year students the option of writing a dissertation. Students who wish to write a dissertation join what we call seminar groups. And seminar groups allow students the opportunity to meet during the course of the year with other students who are also writing dissertations in the same area in order to discuss, to exchange ideas, and to present work in progress. They are also, of course, offered the support of a supervisor who provides them with the guidance they need to complete their project successfully. Seminar papers are available in various areas, including criminal law and justice, private law, public law, family law. So, that's what we teach, but how do we go about teaching it? There are a couple of dimensions to this. One is the more practical question of how we actually deliver teaching. And then there's the more philosophical question about what we are trying to achieve through our teaching, what we are trying to ensure that our students get out of the program. I'm going to start with the first issue of the mechanics of our teaching. And this is fairly straightforward. There are three basic building blocks to a legal education at Cambridge. These are lectures, supervisions, and individual study, of which I have to admit there is quite a lot if you choose to do a law degree at Cambridge. Now, lectures are delivered by members of academic staff here at the faculty in lecture theatres such as the one we find ourselves in today. Students from all the different colleges in Cambridge come together to attend lectures. In the foundation papers, which everybody takes, there will be, therefore, in a given lecture hall, around 200 to 250 students For optional papers, obviously, by definition, the numbers are going to be smaller. Students will typically have 2 or 3 lectures per week for each of the subjects that they are taking that year. And as students take 4 or 5 subjects a year, that works out to about 10 hours of lectures a week. In the lectures, lecturers aim to provide a framework understanding of the subject they are teaching. And they may also dive deeper into trickier issues that might be harder to understand simply from reading a textbook, as well as into any newer aspects which may not have made it yet into any of the reading. The syllabus for a law paper can be very expansive, but lecturers are not trying to cover absolutely everything there is to know about a given topic. That would be impossible. But instead, to put in place a sound basis upon which students can build with their work in supervisions and with their own study. So that brings us to supervision. Sometimes in other institutions, these may be called tutorials, but they are, in any case, one of Cambridge's major strengths, because there are very few universities that provide this type of teaching, at least to the extent that happens over here. Supervisions are what we call small group teaching sessions, which we offer to our undergraduate students. Supervisions are arranged by the colleges because this is, after all, a collegiate university. That said, the faculty is by no means entirely uninvolved in the organization and provision of supervisions. Supervisions, in fact, in some subjects are coordinated by the faculty, and in all subjects, central guidance is provided by the faculty. It's also worth mentioning that most, not all, but most faculty academic staff also have college affiliations, so they will tend to provide supervision teaching in that capacity. In any case, supervisors retain a high degree of autonomy, which we see as an advantage, as it allows students to be exposed to different perspectives on the same subject, and to therefore build a well-rounded understanding of that subject. Supervisions are held every couple of weeks in each subject, so typically students will have 2 to 3 supervisions per week. A supervision involves usually 2 to 3 students, maybe 4, coming together with a supervisor. And the supervisor might be a member of academic staff here at the faculty, they might be a college lecturer, they might be a PhD student or a postdoctoral researcher. The supervisor leads the discussion for an hour based on what the students have been doing in the lectures and the reading that has been assigned to the students in preparation for the supervision. Now, whereas lectures generally involve sitting, listening, taking notes, maybe asking a few questions, but are essentially a rather passive form of learning that allows students to take in a large amount of information in a short period of time, supervisions are highly interactive. Students are encouraged to come along to supervisions with lots of questions, to point out any areas of confusion which they might have, anything they haven't quite managed to grasp during the lectures, and to be prepared, crucially, to participate in discussions on the issues that are raised by the material. And of course, the supervisor will also have questions prepared for the students in order to stimulate discussion during the supervision, to make sure everybody has understood all of the key points and to encourage students to push their thinking further and deeper. Now, finally, lectures and supervisions can only bear fruit when they are combined with the third pillar of our teaching model, which is individual study. Our law students do spend a lot of time in the library, in their rooms, in their colleges, reading cases, reading legislation, reading academic journal articles and textbooks, and also writing essays and writing answers to problem questions, that is to say, hypothetical scenarios which are designed to allow students to practice applying the law to specific fact patterns. And you're going to hear a little bit more about this later on in the program. It's important to emphasize that personal, individual study does not need to happen in splendid isolation. In fact, we recommend working together with other students and sharing resources as much as possible. Here in Cambridge, we don't mark on a bell curve, which means that our students are not encouraged to see each other as competitors, but instead as helpers. The stronger the supervision group, the more the supervisor can cover, and the more the supervisor can stretch students on the material. And similarly, working together in preparation for supervisions and lectures and revising the material afterwards can help students approach the subject, approach the material from lots of different perspectives and identify and address misunderstandings and gaps in their own work. Okay, so those are the practicalities of how we teach. But why do we teach in this way? And what are we trying to achieve through this? Or to put the question a different way, what would you be getting out of doing a law degree at Cambridge? One aspect of this question is, well, why study law? As opposed to what is the case in most countries in the world, in this country, you don't actually have to do a law degree to become a lawyer. So why would one opt to do a law degree, and why do we continue to offer it? Well, one reason is that we think that studying law is important and interesting in its own right. Law is, after all, an essential aspect of how our society functions, and that is also very much how we teach law at Cambridge. Our goal is not to train people to be lawyers, although, of course, a lot of our students do go on to have very successful careers as lawyers. What this means is that we're not just teaching law as a set of rules that have to be learned and applied. Of course, law does comprise a lot of rules, and our students do have to learn how to grapple with those rules. There's no getting around that, because understanding those rules is what allows one to make their way towards the more intellectually interesting questions about the law that concern how and why the law is formed, the historical context that shapes the law, and the social, economic, and political consequences of its interpretation and application in practice. In other words, our students aren't just taught what the law currently says, but are encouraged to think about it critically. Is a given law working? Is it solving the problem it was designed to solve? What is that problem even? And if it's not working as it ought to work, how might the law be improved? How can it be reformed? A further important part of how we go about teaching the law is to emphasize modes of thinking, to encourage critical evaluation and contextual understanding. Again, this is because our objective is not to fill our students' heads up full of facts about the law and then send them out into the world 3 years later knowing everything they will ever need to know about the law. For one thing, that would be entirely futile because the law changes, and often very rapidly. But some areas change very quickly. And this is the unavoidable consequence of democracy, of changes of government, but also of the constant evolution of our society, the society which the law seeks to govern and to shape. Our resources change, our technology changes, our problems change, power dynamics between different groups in society shift, and our goals change. And with all of these, the law must change as well. Or, even if it does not always have to, at any rate, it does. To cover this gap, one of our key objectives is to teach our students how to work with the law, how to think about the law, and how to write about the law in ways that are clear, insightful, and coherent. And so, while the content of the rules that we teach on the course may change over time, and some may actually be out of date before our students even finish their degree, the skills that they acquire here are skills that can take them forward into whatever they decide to do next. Now, of course, even after all of this, and even after the end of today, you might still need more resources before deciding if law, and specifically law at Cambridge, is right for you. And this makes sense, because I do recommend that you take this decision very seriously. There are a few things that I can recommend for this purpose if you haven't come across them already. The first is a book called What About Law, which was written by a few members of the law faculty here at Cambridge. This takes a closer look at the foundation subjects, which I mentioned earlier, and explores, uses cases in these foundation subjects in order to explore what it really means to study contract law, tort law, constitutional law, and so forth. Reading something of this kind, and there are other similar books out there as well, but reading something of this kind at any rate will give you a sense of the kinds of issues that law students have to engage with during the course of their studies. The second thing that you might want to have a look at is our relatively new online program, which is called Exploring Law, Studying Law at University, and you can find this on the law faculty's website. There's a link there. You can do the entire program free of charge. It runs twice a year, and it is starting again the week after next, so on the 15th of July. It is by no means a requirement that you take this course in order to apply to the law faculty here at Cambridge, but it might give you a real taste of what studying law at university entails. And finally, there is another important dimension to the question, is law at Cambridge for me? And that's something that I do want to talk very briefly about before I finish. Now, I mentioned earlier that Cambridge does have its own special jargon, and sometimes that can seem a little bit intimidating. The structures of the university and the division of the university from the colleges and how it all comes together can also sometimes be a bit complicated. In fact, there's lots of things about Cambridge which can be very intimidating, not least of which is its long history and its strong reputation. And I know this from personal experience, because I felt very intimidated when I first arrived here. And I wasn't even arriving here as a student, but as a professional in her 30s. However, what I found was a community which is committed to inclusivity and diversity. And with this in mind, what I want to emphasize is that we at the Faculty of Law feel very strongly about admitting students which are intellectually able, regardless of social, racial, religious, or financial considerations. We particularly want to encourage people from groups which are underrepresented currently at Cambridge, and we want to make sure that every person who applies here is assessed as fairly as possible. So we welcome applications for anyone who feels that they have the interest and the drive and the potential to do well in our degree program. And I'm sure you're going to hear a lot more about that during the course of this event. In any case, that brings me to the end of what I wanted to say. I very much hope that you enjoy the event today, and I hope that it helps answer as many of your questions as is possible, and that the event helps you reach a conclusion on whether you want to apply to do a law degree here with us. We now have a 5-minute coffee break, and after that you will return to this room where I think you're going to be hearing from my colleague Findlay Stark on criminal law. Thank you very much.